I'm Jared Carpenter, and this is More Than Blockchain. And on this episode, let's talk about future-proofing your finances. And this will kind of continue on a recent episode that I did where I talked about the five sectors that I think are going to continue to grow probably over the next 5 to 10 to 15 years. And they're sectors where maybe you want to invest your time if you're looking to kind of future-proof yourself against artificial intelligence. And to build on what was discussed in that episode, today we're going to talk about three ways in which I think you can future-proof your finances in the world of AI displacement. And what do I mean by AI displacement? I mean, if you lose your job to AI. Now, I don't think that this is going to happen today or tomorrow, but it may happen over the next 5 to 10 years for a holy host of different sectors and industries, which is why I'm creating this episode today to start to talk about these things now so we can prepare. Now, the framework I'm going to introduce to you today has been heavily influenced by Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant. Robert Kiyosaki is famously known as the rich dad, poor dad, father. And for me, his book called The Cash Flow Quadrant, which introduced what I'm about to put up on the screen or talk about, was fundamental in my understanding of my own personal journey in financial literacy. So with no further ado, let's dive into what the cash flow quadrant is. As you can see it on the screen, or if you're listening through the podcast, I'm going to go ahead and kind of read this out. Now, if you are listening on a podcast, I would highly advise that you go down in the description and you click into YouTube to watch this on YouTube, because this episode will be much better digested if you're able to see some of the visuals that I have today to share. And one of them is the cash flow quadrant. So the cash flow quadrant is basically a simple way to break down how people make money, how anyone makes money. There's the E quadrant, which is the employee, or you have a job. There's the S quadrant, which is self-employed, or you create a job. Then there's the B quadrant, people work for you because it's a business. And then there's the I quadrant, and this is the most leveraged quadrant where your money is literally working for you because you're an investor. Now, if you haven't heard of the cash flow quadrant before, I invite you to also check down in the description where I break down what the cash flow quadrant is, as well as each individual quadrant from E, S, B, and I. And I actually did this on a now discontinued YouTube series that was called Friday Finances TV, where I used to talk more publicly around financial literacy. So if that's at all interesting to you, those links are going to be down in the description. Now, the cash flow quadrant heavily influenced my thinking and how I kind of came around this framework that I'm going to share with you today on this episode to talk about future-proofing your finances, especially in the world of AI, because you don't want AI to take away your job and then you're stuck essentially not being able to make money. In many ways, this is protecting your future earnings by thinking about the framework. Now, this framework is really based around one idea, and that is that humans love brands. And if you're thinking to yourself, I don't love brands, but I'm a human, well, I would ask that you think a little bit further. Because even as you watch this, if you watch it on YouTube, that's a brand, that's a platform. Or maybe you're listening to it on Spotify or Apple, both billion and in Apple's case, trillion-dollar brands. So we're always, always engaging with brands. And if you're listening to this on a podcast, maybe you're using an iPhone, maybe you're using a Samsung, maybe you're using a Google Pixel, maybe you're using a Huawei. And then thinking from there, what's your telecom provider? If you're in the States, is it Verizon? Maybe it's Xfinity? Is it AT&T? These are all brands. You see, we're constantly always dealing with brands. Even this podcast is a brand. More Than Blockchain is a brand. And I'll get into that a little bit later. So this is at the most fundamental level of the framework, is that humans love brands. We engage with them all the time, both subconsciously and consciously. It's why people would rather spend more money to buy this Mercedes SUV than they would this Toyota SUV. That would actually provide them the same amount of utility. It's just one has a different social capital standing and communicates a different message of value, or what people decide to spend their money upon. Therein lies brands. So without further ado, let's go ahead and let's dive into my framework on brands that I'm personally using to try to make myself more resilient around tech changes with a specific focus of artificial intelligence. So the first part of this is be the brand. Now, what do I mean by be the brand? We live in a world now where most people have a personal brand, or they're going to create a brand. And it's exactly that. Whether it's your personal brand, however you decide to leverage that, or if you're going to create something else on top of yourself to then leverage. And I'm going to give you four examples, and these are massive examples from the world, all examples that you've probably heard of. The first example for me is J.K. Rowling. Before she created Harry Potter, no one knew who she was. Then she created the Harry Potter brand. That's great. This is also more of an old school look at an old school product. writing a book, being an author. The second example I have is Mark Zuckerberg. Now, other people helped him create Facebook, but he's the one now who's dubbed the founder of Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg created Facebook. There's his brand. A third one I want to throw out is Mr. Beast. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you probably know who Mr. Beast is. Mr. Beast has over 230 million YouTube subscribers and has the biggest YouTube channel in the world. So he created Mr. Beast basically out of thin air. Another brand. And then finally, Rihanna. Rihanna's been a recording artist for more than a decade, but what I want to talk about was her creation of Fenty. Fenty's now worth more than $1.3 billion, and she basically was able to create it by leveraging her personal brand to make a new brand. And she's synonymously tied to Fenty. So there's number one. Be the brand. If you can create your own brand around your persona or what you stand for, or create a brand that's tangentially tied to yourself, these are ways that you're going to be able to totally navigate the future if you were to lose your job due to artificial intelligence. Number two, work with the brand. This is basically the super simple idea that as an employee, if throughout your career, whether you're a Gen Z, whether you're a millennial, whether you're Gen X, whatever generation you're from, if you tie yourself to big brands, you're going to be able to leverage those names on your resume moving forward. Imagine you're a recruiter for tech and somebody shows up with a resume that has Google, Apple, and Meta. This would be someone that would probably rise to the top, as opposed to someone who's maybe also been in tech for 10 years, but doesn't necessarily have well-known brands on their CV or on their resume. This is what I mean by work with the brand. So whether you're an employee or a consultant, working with some of the biggest brands in the world in whatever sector or field you find yourself in can be a great way to kind of future-proof your finances against artificial intelligence. Idea being that even if you get laid off from one of these big tech companies, you could probably go out and consult and even get investments just based off the fact that, hey, you've been working with some of the biggest names in the business for the past 10 to 15 years. So that's work with the brand. And then finally, and this ties directly to the cash flow quadrant as the most leveraged area of the cash flow quadrant where the money is working for you as an investor, finally, it's own the brand. Moving forward, if you have a financial portfolio that is full of some of the biggest names in the world that are going to continue to grow, then I think you're going to be okay. Once again, all you're doing is buying brands. Brands that are going to continue to offer products or services or platforms that people are going to want to engage with. And I'd like to give you some examples of how you could also not only own brands, but own brands that are going to be directly or indirectly tied to artificial intelligence. Now, before I go ahead and say all this, I want to say that this is not financial advice. I'm not advocating that you go out and buy any of these stocks. I just wanted to give you examples of things that are tied either indirectly or directly to the future value of artificial intelligence. Now, the first brand for me or stock that comes to mind, and once again, this is not financial advice, would be NVIDIA. If you've never heard of NVIDIA, that's okay. If you are interested in learning more about them, I would go back and look at their history over the last 5 years. Essentially, they have blown up. Between cryptocurrency mining as well as AI data centers, they are the ones that are making the chips. If we think back to the gold rush of San Francisco, they are the picks and axes. They are selling the tools that you need to be able to engage with the future of technology. And this is why their stock has absolutely exploded over the last 5 years. So there's something that is directly tied to owning the brand or owning the future of artificial intelligence, NVIDIA. As the next example, I'd like to talk about Tesla. Now Tesla, unlike NVIDIA, which I find to be a direct investment in the future of AI, is kind of an indirect investment in AI. Just because while Tesla is a car company, they will be leveraging AI to propel forward the future of self-driving cars. And finally, a third, which is also kind of an indirect, would be to buy Microsoft stock. Since Microsoft acquired OpenAI for a couple $1 billion in the last 12 months, Microsoft stock has seen a bump just because they now have OpenAI in their portfolio. So when you buy Microsoft stock, you are indirectly investing in products that OpenAI own and ChatGPT. So there are some examples of ways to both indirectly and directly invest in the future of AI. Now, there's a bunch of other stocks which I think could also be super valuable that have nothing to do with AI that could continue to appreciate and allow you to protect yourself moving forward as you try to future-proof your finances. And it's here that I want to point out that I am personally using this framework daily as I think about how to future-proof my own finances. If you think about Be the Brand, well, that's what this is. That's what More Than Blockchain is. It's been the thing that I get to create and that I have full ownership over. And then for number two, working with the brand, I currently work in the field of Bitcoin mining, which is indelibly tied to Bitcoin, which is a global brand that should continue to grow and appreciate over the next 5 to 10 years as global adoption continues. And then finally, owning the brand. It's no secret, if you watch the show, and once again, this is not financial advice, one of the ways I'm trying to future-proof my finances is by owning a brand like Bitcoin. And as you can see, whether it's being the brand, working with the brand, or owning the brand, they're all tied into the blockchain-backed ecosystem and kind of tied into Bitcoin. So that is a huge part of the way I'm thinking about future-proofing my finances should I get laid off in the future or replaced by AI. I work in media, and what we're saying about media is basically 40% of content that's going to be created by 2025 may be created by artificial intelligence. So I'm looking ahead and saying, how can I future-proof myself? And those are the ways in which I'm doing this. Before we finish up this episode, let's go back and take a quick look at Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant with my three ideas of branded framework on top. In the E quadrant, you see employee, and this is the idea of working with the brand. This was kind of number two in my framework. In the S, or self-employed, this is B, the brand. This is number one. So for the third quadrant, for B, or business owner, I'm saying that that's B, the brand, just like Rihanna owns Fenty. And then finally, I, as an investor, this is the idea of owning the brand. As I talked about here, once again, not financial advice, NVIDIA, Tesla, and Microsoft are probably all great plays to both directly or indirectly invest in the future of AI to be able to protect yourself. It's like buying the picks and axes of the future gold rush. And finally, as you look ahead, no one can predict the future. I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen with artificial intelligence and whether it's going to take your job or take my job or take the jobs of people we know in our lives. But I do think it's really important to sit down and start to ask the question, well, what would I do and how would I future-proof my wallet if that were to happen? Which is why I provided you this branded framework. But please let me know what you think. Where was I wrong? Where was I too overzealous? Where will AI not replace us? Where will AI actually replace us? And go ahead and leave those comments below. It's nearly impossible to predict the future. And what I wanted to do on this episode, and hopefully I was able to, was to just share with you the framework I'm personally using to be able to future-proof my finances, to be able to put things in play now that hopefully I'll be able to lean on in 2 to 3 years should I become replaced by AI, or should my entire industry, media, be super impacted by the developments and the overall crazy mass adoption of AI. If you enjoyed this episode, please go ahead and share it with a family member, friend, or colleague. I think this is a really important conversation just to start to have. Even if you don't think that your industry or sector will be impacted by AI, it could impact a tertiary sector that will actually indirectly impact your sector. These are really difficult things to see as we stand here now, we look towards the horizon of the future, but I think having these conversations today will allow everyone to kind of insulate against future changes and future evolutions. As always, please go ahead and follow us on social media at More Than Blockchain. And no matter where you listen to the podcast, whether it's on a podcast platform or you're watching right now on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe. Thanks again for checking out this episode of More Than Blockchain, and I'll see you next time.